So a little over a year ago, I caught my wife fucking a 22-year-old kid that lives at home with his parents and is still in college. How you guys doing tonight, all right? We'll get back to that. My set is like a Tarantino film. I give you the ending first, and you're like, wait a minute, and then I fill in the blanks along the way. So.
Guys, welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by my co-host, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Good evening.
Phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. Guys, we have one hell of a program for you tonight. There's a lot to get to, Travis. We're going to be joined here in a minute by comedian Jim Florentine, I believe. And Matt will be joining us.
As far as we know.
There's a lot going on, guys.
A lot of behind-the-scenes technical stuff.
Travis, put your seatbelt on. You know what I'm saying? Put your seatbelt on.
That's right. Travis. Strap in. Use it if you got an over-the-shoulder harness. That would be preferable.
Travis.
There's so much shit to get to, you can't even spit it out.
Travis, buddy. I think I'm getting old, but
oh, you are.
But I think I'm justified, and I assume that every generation is the same way. I remember very distinctly being a young boy, and my father, he disapproved of my music. He would come in and he would say, "Oh, that music is garbage.
Turn that shit off, son."
And I'm sure that his father didn't like his music, and so on and so on as the world turns. But like, I see the kids, Travis. Now this black hole, Travis.
Yeah.
Since the 1900s, we've theorized of black holes.
Mm-hmm.
Never been able to prove them. It's just something in our mind. It's something
right.
in our mind that says, you know what, I think there's black holes.
It's something that, it's an amazing trope to use for a science fiction film.
The people, Travis, they see the black holes, and they immediately want to make them into memes. They put the Harambe in the black holes. They make the black holes into porno ladies' buttholes. And does anybody actually appreciate the marvel that is the black hole? Is anybody, like, jazzed about the black hole? The people that took the picture of the black hole like the black hole, but most people just take a big shit on it. Most people don't give a shit about the black hole.
They just post pictures of donuts and shit.
Like, you know, to a much lesser extent. Matt is here. Hello, Matt. Hi, Matt. How are you?
Hi.
Matt, we're talking about black holes, Matt. Mm. You know, like the Star Wars trailer dropped.
Yeah.
And as soon as the Star Wars trailer drops, a minute after it drops, people are replying to it. They didn't even have time to watch it. Like, within a minute, people are just replying, trash.
It's all instant now, right? You don't have to, you just read the headline. Oh, I didn't like the last two, so it's trash. So it's trash.
Yeah.
I've fallen victim to that, too, before. Like, I mean, if there's something that I'm pretty sure I'm not going to like Transformers, you know, 6 or whatever. When I see it, my instant thought is, oh, that's garbage.
It's garbage. And I just, it's the kids, I think. It's the kids. Jim.
Yeah.
Jim, how are you doing, buddy? Guys, good. Jim Florentine's on the phone. His new special, I Got the House, is on iTunes and jimflorentine.com now. Jim, we were talking about the black hole. Did you see the picture of the black hole?
Yeah.
What did you
think? Are you excited about the black hole?
No, not at all.
Not an astronomy man?
I thought it was a porn. I thought it was a porn.
Yeah, you know, Jim, what I was telling the fellas is, you know, like, I feel like as I get older, I hate the younger generation, and I hate their music, and I hate their philosophies. I hate everything about them. And I think that it's not that they're awful. It's that it's like the ever-growing circle. Like, you know, my dad hated my music. I'm sure his dad hated his music.
Yeah, you're supposed to, yeah.
Are you supposed to?
Well, I mean, I don't, you know, anything new, like there's some, I don't know, some new pop star, Billy Goat or something, or Billy Idol or something, and it's like, someone's playing it for me, I go, I'm not supposed to like this, so I'm not going to trash it.
So
yeah, it's not for you.
You're a big metal guy. Do you seek out new metal, or do you just stick to what you listened to, like, when you were 16?
No, I seek out new metal and stuff like that, but that whatever that pop artist is, that whatever that 17-year-old girl, whatever, it's not. So I'm not even going to be like, this is awful, because if I was 17, I might like it if I needed to get laid.
Yeah, I feel like when we're talking about like our kids' music or our parents listening to our music, it's not necessarily that it's new music or of the time. It's anything that's popular. Like your top 40 is what people can't stand when you get a little bit older.
Jim, do you think that you've matured a little bit? Because I feel like maybe you would have completely destroyed any type of pop music like 10 years ago, 15 years. I mean,
no, I don't know. I just think that, you know, everybody, when you're a teenager, I like pop music when I was a kid. Cause look, it's all tied to, especially boys and guys, it's all tied to trying to get laid when you're younger.
Right.
And you know, I remember going to parties when I was a kid and trying to tell, you know, hot girl that, I think Judas Priest is breaking up, and she wanted nothing to do with me. You know what I was talking about. And she's like, get away from me, you weirdo. And then I started getting into more of like new wave at the time, you know, like goofy 80s pop shit, like, you know, the Thompson Twins or whatever, and fucking Howard Jones, because that was the shit that was popular. So then I started going like those dance clubs and got into that music so I could talk to girls.
You need a good rhythm to like rub your dick on people too.
Right, so if I was a 17-year-old kid, I'd be fucking all over Drake right now. I know every Drake song. I'd be putting it on constantly when I had a girl over or fucking rap or whatever. So I'd be in that because that's what I, you know, I need to do.
Do you feel like you learned that a little bit too late, though, right? Like, you're trying to rebel against this shit. It's, like, too popular. I don't like that. And then you're like, oh, if only I would have liked NSYNC at the time, I maybe would have got more ass.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're like, I'm not going to listen to that crap. And then you realize you go all through high school and you still haven't got laid. You're like, all right, maybe it's me. Maybe I should put down my Motorhead record.
Yeah, put down the Joint and the Fish album.
But back to the black hole, guys. I feel like, do you remember when we don't remember when we landed on the moon. But I mean, like, everybody appreciated that as an amazing accomplishment. And this is something, you know, 55 million light years away we've been theorizing since the 1900s and never been able to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt. And as soon as it comes out, people are putting Harambe on it. No, nobody gives a shit about it. And I can't help but blame that on the kids. But maybe it's just, maybe the world has changed. Maybe I'm of a different time. Has the world
changed?
Yeah,
I feel it's less the kids and more of the depressed mid-30s, you know?
No, it's the world, because the news is changing so quick every 10 minutes or something else. You know, that Notre Dame fire, by tomorrow, nobody's even going to remember it.
I didn't realize that many people were, that had such a connection to that church until it started burning.
Yeah, everybody.
Well, that's just, no, because every tourist that went over there took a picture in front of it, and then they go, let me go dig through my pictures.
Right.
All about,
oh,
me.
Shit, was that 2012?
It's all about me.
And, Jim, I guess,
you know, I was there once, too.
Tying this into you.
It could have been me.
Jim, tying this into you, and I know that the, I can kind of guess your answer is probably going to be that you don't give a shit, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. In this connected world where everyone can kind of just have things in a second, is it weird to not only live like a public life, but the majority of your work is like autobiographical? So you could go into a Subway and the guy making your sandwich could be a complete stranger to you who knows very intimate things about your life. Is that weird, or I guess, do you just not give a shit?
No, well, it is weird when you go on a date with a girl, because I'm single. So they'll do research on you. So they know everything about you. They'll listen to you on a radio show podcast. Or read an article and then know your likes and dislikes. And then they'll bring it up, you know, during a conversation. Like, okay, this girl did some research on me. She's just full of shit.
Do you ever try to throw them for a loop then? Do you like just go, you know, anything you've said publicly, do you just do the exact opposite during those dates?
Well, no, like she'll be like, oh, you know, oh man, look at that guy over at the bar. I bet he does CrossFit. I hate CrossFit. And, you know, meanwhile, I just did a podcast about how much I hate CrossFit. I'm like, okay, she did research on me. Okay, great. You know what I mean? I'm like, just be yourself. You know what I mean?
So,
you know, but they have easy access to that. So that's the one. It does bother me, because it's just like, I don't know, when I meet a girl, I don't want to know anything about her history. I'm not going to do a Google search on her. I'm not going to do a background check on her. I just want to start fresh.
Well, and I guess that kind of puts you at a disadvantage, because they kind of, I mean, your everything is pretty much out there. I mean, you could find out just about anything
but
you needed
sometimes
to.
Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's good, because then they'll just go, okay, I'm not interested in this guy. This guy's too much for me or whatever. And then if a girl does, it goes, no, I like what he's about, you know, so they already know. So you get through all of that bullshit. So I don't have to go, let's go apple picking. Yeah. That sounds fun. You know, I don't have to do any of that shit.
And as you said, you're single. The new special kind of, explains why that is. Your new special deals primarily with your divorce. Did the material for that come quickly, or did you have to separate yourself from it a bit? Did you have to take a step back? And
yeah, when it first went down, my divorce, I had writer's block. I couldn't come up with anything for, you know, probably 2 to 3 months. And then once the floodgates opened, I had a half hour material in like a week, because it just, you know, started flowing. It just took a while.
Was that after the
alimony? Get that break
after you started making the alimony payments? That's when it all cleared up.
Something like that. Yeah, I think when I cut that last check, you know, when you got a divorce lawyer, it's $375 an hour, and you send that last check off, then you can relax.
And
go, all right, now I got to start.
As the material progresses, do you like just kind of go, and another thing, and then just go on another tangent on something that you thought of after the fact?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, when I first started doing it, I was really angry, because, you know, it's raw. Your emotions are raw and stuff. And it took about a year to kind of smooth it over, where it wasn't as angry when I finally filmed it.
Well, it's got to be a lot like therapy, right? Where you're working it out and you know you have the beats that you want to touch on. And then all of a sudden it triggers another memory or another emotion. And it's like, oh, I got to get this out too.
Yeah. And then I realized after about a year, I didn't care about it anymore. Like, I was moving on from it. I was kind of over it. So the material wasn't working as well, because I wasn't as passionate about it. So I'm just like, I don't give a shit. All right, my marriage is over. Who cares? I got the whole house to myself. I'm good. This is fucking great. So I said, I got to film this now before I start really, the material really doesn't stop working at all, you know?
It's a weird thing. And I mean, like, I can relate to it on a very small level, doing the weekly podcast. I'm, of course, not comparing what I do to what you do, but do you feel like if nothing happens, that's a good thing for your life, but it's a bad thing for your career? So it's kind of, I mean, like, in a way, I'm sure that you'd rather these things didn't happen to you, but at the same time, you got a great special out of it. So.
No, you're right. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, as like, a songwriter or something like that, they always say like a divorce or a breakup of a relationship is always good for songwriting or something. But yeah, it just sucks going through it. You know, sometimes like, I need a break. Can I just have like 5 years of peace? before some other shit comes up that I got to deal with and I got to write another special about.
Yeah, it's like the fifth Korn album. It's like, okay, he's not mad anymore. Now we're just singing goofy stuff about how we want to make a new single.
Make a single. Was so good when he was so mad.
Make a single about making a single.
Well, that was the record company basically saying, listen, we need a single from you guys, you know, because you guys are kind of going underground now. You know, they already established their base, Korn, at that point. They're like, look, we just want to do what the fuck we want to do. We already got all the hits under our belt. We're set. Now we really want to be what we want to be. And they're like, we need a single. So like, okay. So then they did that song.
You want a single? Fuck that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, look, everybody had a fuck you song back in, you know, in the mid-2000s. Every band did.
It was like a rite of passage, I think, in that like rap metal era.
It was, of course. It started with Rage Against the Machine, Killing in the Name of, you know, fuck you, won't do what you tell me. And, you know, and everybody had to have one.
So the world has changed. The kids are fine. I guess that's the message that we're getting is
getting back to the black hole. It's just like everything is moving so fast with, you know, social media where, you know, things are popping up every hour, you know, any kind of tragedy or any kind of big death that some big superstar dies in 2 or 3 days, nobody's talking about it anymore because everything's moving so quick. And you just, you know, you're addicted to your phone and there's so much information on there. So when the black hole thing comes out, people, oh man, nobody gives a shit because they're onto something else.
Right.
Something else happened. And then something else in another day. I always tell a comic if they're going through some shit and it's, you know, it's out there in the media, I go, don't worry about it. I go, in two or three days, some celebrity's going to do something fucking crazy and nobody's going to be thinking about what just happened with you.
Well,
I'm going to blow over.
Just
everything's a knee-jerk reaction now, right? So we don't actually process any information. We just want to comment on it as soon as it happens so people know that we have something to say about what just happened, and then we wait for the next thing. That's how James Gunn can get hired back onto Guardians of the Galaxy 3 after, like, 6 months of people, like, freaking out.
Yeah, because they're like, oh, that's right. Did he – how long – that was a while ago that we didn't like him. Oh, he's back. There's been 75 million things that have happened since then. Even like that Game of Thrones shit on Sunday night. Like I went on Twitter and I don't watch that. So it's like the whole thing was all about that. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And I just shut it off. And now nobody's talking about it. Like, you know, what happened on Sunday on Game of Thrones, the premiere episode, you know, because it's 2 or 3 days later. On Sunday, more people be talking about it, but right now, nobody gives a shit.
That's the thing. I was all about Game of Thrones Sunday night, and since then, I've watched an episode of Sopranos, two episodes of the new Netflix show Black Summer, and some other random shit, and I can't even remember what happened in Game of Thrones.
How was Black Summer?
I'm only an episode and a half into it, but it's actually really good. It's everything you maybe liked about The Walking Dead without all the shit that you hated about it.
No, I never watched The Walking Dead.
It's like the peak of the zombie apocalypse is just happening, and it's watching humanity like try to figure out what the hell's happening and how to deal with it. And it's, you know, just essentially it's just chaos is what it is. It's pretty good. I recommend it.
I have a theory on a zombie apocalypse.
I'd like to hear it.
Okay. When was the last one? Because a lot of people think the zombie apocalypse is coming.
I think it was 2016 after the presidential election.
I thought it was 2014. And then the one before that was what, like 1998?
Well, 2000
wiped out.
I think it was 1998. Yep. And then we rebuilt from there. We're a couple of decades removed. Okay. So I think we're doing good.
Right. And then I think it was 72. I was a little kid. Maybe.
Yeah, I wasn't born yet. My mom told me about it, though.
Okay, yeah, so that, yeah, because it happens, I don't know, every, like, 15, 20 years we have one.
It seems like it.
Every comedian had a zombie apocalypse joke.
Did you ever have one?
For a while.
No. Did you have one?
Well,
no.
If I did, I'd say it's never happening. It's not happening, okay? There's never been a documented case of it happening.
Well, what about that guy in Florida that ate that person's face? I thought that's when it was going to happening.
Well,
the face.
Well, he was high on drugs. He was doing that fucking wacka shit or whatever.
That's that bad.
One guy ate one guy. Jeffrey Dahmer ate four guys.
Jeffrey Dahmer ate more guys.
And Travis, you were going
to
ask.
How great was Jeffrey Dahmer? Like, how great was Jeffrey Dahmer that he'd bring a guy's head in a bowling bag to work and put it in his locker when he worked in the factory?
The balls. The balls, like, on that guy.
That's like true love, though, I know. Right?
I know. I mean, like, you know, you probably should leave that in your refrigerator. You know what I mean? Till you get home.
But you've been in a new relationship before, right? Where you, like, just can't wait to see them again. Like, if, you know, you want to call them, you want to hear their voice, you want to see their eye. You know, I mean, I could see if he was really into them, like, he did not want to leave their side.
Like, he just wanted to get caught, though, right? Like, he was just, he was doing that because of, like, oh, man, the rush of putting a head in a bowling ball and putting it in the locker and letting it be there all day. And probably people would say stuff in the break room, like, boy, it really, what's that smell? Like,
oh, Dahmer brought that disgusting lunch again.
And they were just like, he was just jerking off because he heard people mentioning that there was a weird smell by the lockers, you know?
Do you think it is, in his lunch break, he went and unzipped it and just said, hey, you.
Yeah, he's like, hey, you know,
Jim,
you know, it's lunchtime. We'll be home in 4 hours.
They just announced that that Crank Yankers is coming back. Is that something that you're involved with in any way, or maybe?
Yeah,
we don't know.
Yeah. We didn't start taping yet, but yeah, I'm involved.
Mike just told me about this before the show. I was mentioning how much in love with that show I was at the time, and that I wanted to talk to you about that because I wanted to know if there was conversations about bringing that show back, because I wonder if it can work now with, you know, with how everybody's. I know typically that show didn't, like, go out of its way to be offensive or anything, but pretty much anything nowadays is offensive. And I was trying to think back, like, how would it work without people rebelling against it? But then Mike said, oh, no, they're bringing it back. That's super exciting.
Well, yeah, I don't know. You know, look, I mean, it's through puppets, so you can get away with a little more when it's animated or puppets. So I don't know. You know, we haven't started filming or anything like that. They just said, look, you're obviously going to be part of the show. You're one of the original cast members, and we'll get in touch soon, and we're going to start recording. So that's all I know at this point. But, you know, I did two characters on the special, Ed and Bobby Fletcher, so we'll see what happens. I don't know. Look, you know, the bottom line is, look, I'm in comedy clubs all the time, all across the country and stuff, and all the media is pretty much driving this narrative that everyone's offended by everything. It is not going on in comedy clubs at all. People are not walking out. People like when it's edgy, dark shit. They're not like, oh, and, you know, running. There's not people running for the door when you do kind of, you know, some kind of edgy shit that, you know, if you did it on Twitter, people would go crazy over. So, you know, it's real middle America and pretty much everywhere except for, you know, these, you know, New York and L.A. and San Francisco and Seattle. It's okay. Everybody's doing whatever the hell they want to do, and people still have a sense of humor and are laughing about it.
I guess the people that are going to comedy clubs are your people. So it's...
Well, they also, you know, I asked the comedy club owners, though, you know, I said, are more people walking out now or complaining or this and that? And they go, no. They go, actually, not at all. They go, you know, people research the comics before they come in, and the people that don't, you know, don't like comedy usually don't come to a comedy club.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's so much, it's so easy to see, oh, who's on the show? All right, let me go look at some clips on YouTube. Every comedian's got some. So then they realize, all right, this comedy's not for me. So it's really not happening, which is great.
That's good news.
It is good news.
Yeah, because people, that's just, you know, you got to realize with Twitter starts all this shit. Now, there's 20% of people are on Twitter. There's 80% of the whole world is not on Twitter. And only 10% actually engage on Twitter, like fight with people back and forth and fucking this and that. So you get, but meanwhile, everyone goes to Twitter, and if there's some crazy thing that happens on Twitter, then it makes the news and it goes on every other site. Like, oh, this is crazy. What's going on? I'm like, nobody even knows what's going on.
I
have seven brothers and sisters and 13 nieces and nephews, and two of them out of 20 are on Twitter.
Yeah,
and they don't fight with anyone. They just go, yeah, just go on there to follow like a CNN and stuff like that, and ESPN and stuff, and just check sports and news.
It's a weird thing because I feel like if I'm not on there, I don't know what's going on. But at the same time, if I go on there, the things that are going on irritate me, and I wish I just would delete the that damn website off my phone and be done with it. But
Well, no, it is good. Look, if you're doing a podcast, you need to be on there. You need to know what's going on, you know, and so I'm on there too. And plus, you know, yeah, all the news organizations that I follow or the sports or the heavy metal sites and stuff like that, it's great for that.
Right.
I go on there to kind of get news. It's almost like a newspaper, you know, on your phone, basically. So, you know, it's good for that. If you're in the business and, you know, you gotta know kind of what's going on, you need to be on there.
But that kid that got thrown off the third story of Mall of America, I was just trying to find out, is the kid okay? And there's
got what?
Did you hear about the kid that got thrown off the third story of Mall of America?
Yeah.
I was trying to find out if the kid was okay. Some people were saying he was stable. Some people were saying he was dead. Some people were saying that the perpetrator was a guy from where was he from, Travis?
I don't know. It was some, they were trying to tie it to terrorism.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And like I couldn't just get the straight news, and it was so frustrating. But
well, look, that supposedly that guy was one of these guys that said he used to go to the mall and he never got laid, and he was angry. So he went there to kill somebody.
Yeah. Well,
but what are
that's what I heard. Like there's a whole generation of these young guys that, you know, got rejected by these women. And then, you know, like, you know, that guy I shot up in, what was it? Santa Barbara.
Jim, isn't it
California and a couple other guys.
Isn't it incredibly easy to get laid now? I can't imagine it's difficult. There's websites.
It's a lot easier. It's a lot easier. Absolutely. With the apps now.
I mean, even if you're a weird gross person, you just find another weird gross person. There's probably weird gross people websites.
It's way easier now than, you know, before you had to go to a bar and get a phone number and, you know, you had to take a girl on a date. You know, I remember, you know, I used to have to go pick a girl up at her house, take her on a date, like maybe get some food and go to a movie. And then I had to drop her back off at her house, you know, where the parents waiting up for her. I'm like, how am I going to get laid doing that? And that was like the first date.
Yeah. And you're out your entire week's worth of paycheck because you're probably bussing tables or something at the time. And it's like, well, fuck, now I'm broke.
Absolutely.
And I didn't get laid.
Yeah, exactly. And you're lucky if you know, you got some tit.
You were really lucky. That was the best
really
night
lucky.
Ever if you could get home with
you were kind of just hoping that when you put your arm around her that like you just grazed the side of a breast.
Yeah. Exactly. If you got that in a movie, you know, when she let you do that, you're like, okay, this is
that's
it was worth
night.
74% of my paycheck.
Guys, the new Jim Florentine special is out now. It's I Got the House. It's on iTunes. It's on jimflorentine.com. Jim.
You can rent it on Amazon Prime.
It's on Amazon Prime?
Wherever. It's everywhere but Netflix.
That's good. You probably don't make any money off of Netflix. Let's get that going here everywhere else.
Well, you do. I mean, you do. I guess, you know, Netflix will give you a one lump sum for a special. But, you know, unless I'm a black and transgender lesbian, I got no shot.
Right. And you're on tour. You got some dates coming up. I'll post those in the chat. And they're also available on your website, jimflorentine.com.
Jim, thanks a lot for spending some time with us. We appreciate it. We should do it again sometime.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me on.
Take care.
Thanks, Jim.
Travis.
Love the Jim Florentine.
Yeah, Travis, I hate to be repetitive, but I like Jim Florentine.
So,
yeah.
Nice guy, that guy.
Mm-hmm. Mike, I assume that as with most interviews, you schedule like 10 or 15 minutes, right?
Yeah.
And at what point did you, like, did the panic go away? And just like, oh, cool, Jim Florentine's going to stay with us for longer than 15 minutes.
You mean like, was I trying to wrap up at 15 minutes?
Yeah, were you like starting to kind of panic? Like, oh my God, we're
no,
15 minutes.
He no. does, Mike, you can sense it. He didn't tonight. And I will tell you, go back and listen to any guest really. And you can see a pattern. You'll know when Mike starts panicking and wants to be like, oh, should I wrap it up? Should I wrap it up? There's signs, and I'm not going to point them out.
Well,
you're going to have to, eagle-eared listeners can find them for themselves.
I'd say more than panicking, I would say that if people have 15 minutes that we've agreed upon. I want to give them the out. And it didn't seem like the out was anywhere in sight. So it's fine. Yep. It's
Jim,
fine.
Jim was just ready to go, man.
Yeah,
like, I don't even think when you ended it, I feel like he was going to keep going.
Well, he's a professional, Matt.
He is.
This isn't his first rodeo. He's been on podcasts before.
He's a comedian. He's a TV star. He's a host of That Metal Show for many years. He's called into plenty of radio shows.
Goer. He's a goer, guys.
That's right.
So, guys, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're gonna take a break. We're going to reset, and we'll be back.
Katy Perry is JonBenet.
Here is Mike with a quick update on the WFOD Hollywood Fantasy League.
Hellboy opened this weekend in third place behind Something Called Little. It made $12 million and currently has a 31% Metacritic. Fucking ouch. Good news for us is the $94 million haul from our third round selection Shazam, paired with a 71%, gives us a solid 67 points. The 23 Po' Boys got for Pet Sematary puts him at 297 so far. Not sure how Godzilla and John Wick will catch that, but if any two beings are going to beat the odds, boy howdy, I'd hate to be the sucker who doubts them. Except they won't. Not a chance. Finals for Hellboy next week.
They say till death do us part, but it wasn't quite true. You weren't really dead, and I know I still loved you. Our kids were the same, just a shambling mess, only grunting and moaning and eating live flesh. I made you a vow, and I won't turn away. I'll stand by your side until my final day. I love our dead kids, and I did love you too. If romance is dead, then I want to die too.
Romance is Dead is filmed before a live studio audience.
Hey, bud. Having trouble sleeping? I know it's dark. I'm sorry we can't leave the door open for you. The last time we tried that, we found you down at the Circle K chasing down lot lizards. There's nothing in the dark to be scared of. Here, I'll show you. See? Nothing in the closet. Let's have a look under the bed. What is this? Jesus. Elliot, did you partially eat your friend Jimmy? What did I tell you about that? Nobody's gonna wanna come over and play with you if you keep eating them. Now go to sleep. I'll get you a nightlight next time I'm at Target.
Romance is Dead. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Here is another financial tip from Drunk.
Try to spend less money than you make.
It must happen this way. The time has come. Once again, WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
I see tons of people looking lost and lethal, and I think we're all the same. So I scale the steeple and let I take a leap, and I just can't keep the stain from my soul. It burns so cold. It's got to go. Through my soul.
guys, welcome back. Phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. Guys, it's live. Anything can happen. You know what I'm saying? No net. You know what I'm saying, Travis? No net.
Is that... I know what you're saying.
Travis, this weekend that Coachella happened. The music festival? Yeah.
I used to be plugged in. I've never been to Coachella, and I'm far removed from typically caring about who's at Coachella, but I used to know when it happened. I was not aware.
T-Mobile usually streams it like every year on YouTube, a lot of the performances. And I actually kind of get a kick out of watching some of the performances, like some of the big name acts. But I didn't even realize it was happening until like Sunday afternoon.
Are you guys familiar with airdropping? I don't know if it's specifically an iPhone thing or if it's all cellular phones nowadays have a airdrop feature where I think if you turn it on, then if you're within the vicinity of somebody, they can just send you shit. Most times, I guess if you're like on a subway or something and you just get a random airdrop from somebody else on the subway, it's probably a picture of their genitals. At this Coachella, if people had their airdrop enabled to where people could send them stuff, they were getting airdrop notifications saying that it's from Donald Glover. And if you accepted it, then it was a picture of a pair of shoes. And it said, hey man, you just got the picture of Donald Glover's new shoes. If you go to this place, we'll give them to you, but you got to be here in 30 minutes. And they were.
Was it on the grounds of Coachella?
It was on the grounds of Coachella, yeah. And I guess they were hiding somewhere to give out shoes if you got this airdropped picture. So I guess you had to be a trusting person and not say, yeah, right. Donald Glover's not sending me a picture. So if you had the faith and you clicked it, you got a free pair of shoes at. And I saw the picture of these shoes, Travis. They're ugly shoes. They're
not good shoes.
No, they look just like generic, shitty, old Converses. I mean, they're
not going to give you nice, expensive shoes for free. Especially how many people go to Coachella?
Lots.
Yeah. So they got like a storage container.
They're new shoes. They're Donald Glover's new shoes that he put out. He put out these new shoes and he's trying to build hype for them. And so, like, all these people at Coachella, you know, because if you go to Coachella, Travis, then you're an influencer. You know what I mean?
Just like the people that went to the Fire Festival.
Yeah. You're a people who's movers and shakers. You know, you go to Coachella, you got your finger on the pulse.
Can I tell you that, like, the Fire Festival documentaries that I watched, I got to tell you, like, I didn't like anybody in these and I mean that by like even the people who got burnt and got screwed out of their amazing weekend that they paid thousands of dollars for, I didn't like those people either.
You hated them too?
Like I was like almost like ha ha ha, I'm glad you got a cheese sandwich, you asshole.
The only people that I felt bad for were the people that lived on the island.
The island and, people, exactly.
Yeah, like they were expecting to get all this revenue and boost the kind of the economy, and they just got fucked. I don't feel bad really for the people that paid all that money to, you know, I mean, it sucks that they got lied to. I guess it's not great.
It's
a little hypocritical of me to sit there and say that I was happy that they got fucked over. I can't say that I was happy, but no. I wasn't bothered.
I'm just saying I didn't like any of those people. Is it a tragedy that they blew a bunch of money and then they got burnt? Yes, of course it is. But all of those people that they like showed little clips of them doing selfies for their Instagram and shit, like I was like, man, I don't like you. So any of these people, I kind of feel the same way like these Coachella people that are probably, you know, that you say influencers, that really bothers me. Like we get emails from PR companies trying to peddle some guests and things once in a while. And anytime that like it encapsulates, it's all like we promote authors, We promote social media people, and we influencers. We publicize influencers. Mm-hmm. Anytime I see that, that makes me very sad for our state of affairs.
Because they're people who can get the word out.
They're people who somehow got a social media following that are now getting paid to tweet about shit. Like, right. They're essentially, they're commercials. These people are commercials, and it bothers me.
I mean, Travis, we've gotten sponsorships before.
I'm not bothered by that. Like, it's a difference, right? An influencer is constantly just peddling shit, and you're not necessarily aware that it's an ad. Like, they're just saying, ooh, this is my favorite new, like, protein powder. Oh, I just make 2 shakes in the morning, and I'm good to go all day. And they don't necessarily say it's an ad. It's just that they're peddling it as something that they like, which, but obviously, when we have a sponsor, you know it's a sponsor.
Well, and back to these shoes, Travis. These shoes, they're ugly shoes. They look like, why would Donald Glover... With given the keys to the castle, able to make any shoes he could make, makes these boring, drab shoes.
Because he wants to see how far his influence goes to make these influencers peddle them. And if all of a sudden these boring, drab shoes sell like a motherfucker, that means you have to do the very minimal effort to make a bunch of money off of a bunch of sheep.
Do you think that like an Adidas or something? I don't remember who it was that is partnering with Donald Glover to put out these shoes. I didn't write that down. I should have. Do you think that they have like an ugly shoe that they seek out a celebrity endorsement for just because they know it's a piece of shit and
yeah,
they're stuck
I
with
assume
them?
It's I assume it's a lot like these, you know, like these cheap beer brands, right? Like you have like your Bud Lights and your Miller Lights that, you know, granted, a person could say, oh, those are shitty beers. Yeah, but they're widespread beers. It's like that's a mainstream beer. But those companies have like leftover garbage and they produce like way cheaper beers, right? Like, so, oh, this fucking guy's poor. You know, he wants this fucking Milwaukee's best beer. We're going to sell that for like a case for like $10 because it's just shit we got laying around, right? So I feel like these shoe companies and these clothing companies are like, oh, fuck, we got all this shit laying around from these cool things that we made. What can we do with them? Well, let's make these generic shoes and see if we can peddle these and make a little bit of money out of it. But then they're like, wait a minute. If we can get somebody like Donald Glover to promote this garbage that we were going to sell through Walmart at $9.99 a pair, and we can get like $100 to $200 a pop, and all we got to do is stick a little bit of money into Donald Glover, we're good to go.
Well, and it's the Monster Cables model, because they went to Dr. Dre and said, hey, we got these headphones. Can we put your name on them? And then their stupid Monster Cable headphones, which probably would have been sold at Walmart for too much and not talked about, became a status thing, became the headphones you had to own, even if they costed way, way too much.
You got to have that little B on the side of your head while you're listening to your music.
I'm looking at these shoes right now, the Donald Glover shoes.
Who's the partnership with?
What?
Who's the partnership with? Is it Adidas?
It's Adidas, yeah. I mean, they definitely look like, they kind of just look like old Adidas. Like, they're going for that vintage look where they're kind of beat up and scuffed up. They're frayed a little bit. I mean, I don't hate the shoe. I'm looking at them, and you know, they're fine. I guess I can kind of get why he's pushing these.
They hand
this
out,
is America, right?
They hand out these shows, these shoes at Coachella, and they make you sign a contract. They say, we're giving you a free pair of shoes, but you got to wear them all around Coachella all weekend so that people can see you wearing these shoes. And I mean, I guess you're thinking, free shoes. Hey, sweet. But, you know, ultimately you're a billboard.
But at the end of the day, if those shoes are making your feet bleed, are you able to put that on social media as well? Be like, "Oh, these fucking free Donald Glover shoes blow. I got fucking blisters on the front and the back of my shoes and back of my feet for some reason. Like, I didn't know my big toe could get a blister from a pair of shoes."
But it's this weird mutual thing where I mean, we're all billboards. Right now I'm wearing a Mighty Mouse t-shirt and Adam Levine sweatpants, Travis. And people see my Adam Levine sweatpants, they say, God damn, that guy looks good in them Adam Levine sweatpants.
I don't think anybody says that.
I gotta get me a pair of those Adam Levine sweatpants. Or you wear a big swoosh on your chest, Travis.
Don't those sell through Kmart? Kmart's bankrupt. Like, how are you even getting those anymore?
Well, I mean, it's a poor example. I guess a better example would be like what? Like you wear a pair of Nike shoes, and people see your Nike shoes, and they're left wanting. They're wondering why they don't have fresh new Nike shoes. Why they don't have Under Armour, whatever, and you
can watch those trends happen, right? Like it used to always be like a Nike thing or whatever, and like Under Armour, it was in like the slowly over the last like not even decade, but I mean you could slowly watch that infiltrate like all like youth sporting events, and like dudes who can't give up basketball, so they're at the YMCA when they're like 45 years old, they're all wearing like Under Armour shit. It's like, you know, you could buy a version of that doesn't cost $65, but, you know, you got to go to Kohl's and spend the extra money to get that Under Armour thing because it's got that weird logo on it. Like, I don't know how that happens. How does that happen? Like, what is the catalyst for that?
They have to somehow convince you that you're not cool unless you have that logo on you. And in turn, you then have to buy it and display it to show everyone that you're cool. And then everyone sees it and thinks, oh, that's cool. I should also have one or else I will not be cool.
I mean, obviously this is all targeted towards kids wanting to be cool or whatever, because, you know, for me, and I mean, I don't know about you guys, but obviously that's just not a concern for me. Like looking branded is not anything that I want to do. Like I don't really want to leave the house with a Nike swoosh on anything. I don't wear Abercrombie, you know, or Old Navy shit that says that I'm wearing Old Navy or Abercrombie. Like
Matt,
I want people to think I'm cool, noticeable brand on them, right?
All the time.
I exclusively shop at thrift stores. I mean, exclusively. Like I have like three pair of Lucky jeans that I got from, they're like brand new that I got from thrift stores and shit. All I want from clothes is that they don't make me look like a slob and they're comfortable.
Travis, right? 6 months ago, Matt made a comment about how I wear a bunch of Target shirts and it cut me to the core. I still remember it. I think about it.
Do you not
all
shop at Target anymore?
I don't. I threw away several shirts because of what Matt said. I was like, oh, Matt,
I don't understand why that would bother you, Mike, because, like, I don't know if you know, maybe pull the curtain back here. I wear a ton of Target shirts. I make fun of everything. Like, everything that I see, I just make a comment on it, even though it's hypocritical and I'm doing the exact thing that I'm making fun of.
Got rid of lots of shirts.
You know how much fucking Marona wear I have?
it's original use now. You see, original
use. A lot. I literally cannot remember the last time I bought a pair, like any brand new clothing, besides underwear or socks.
Or I recently went out at Target. Goodfellow. They got rid of Marona.
Yeah, Goodfellow. Marona isn't there anymore. And I know about Goodfellow because I recently shot. I've bought a bunch of new clothes over the course of the winter because
you're vegan.
Because I'm getting fit, bruh.
Right.
You're.
Yeah, I'm gonna get fit soon, Matt. But you know what? Like when I was fit, I was wearing XLs, and so I'll probably just still wear the same clothes. I've been wearing the same clothes since. I don't throw anything away really, so like I still have all the same clothes that I've had.
You just wear them uncomfortably, right? Like, yeah. It's like, oh, I can't wait to take this off.
I can wear like bigger shirts and be comfortable in bigger shirts. But what really got me were the pants, because when my belt is going all the way to the fucking last hole and they're just like so bunched up around the waist and then like baggy all the way around everywhere else, they just kind of look stupid.
Matt, getting off this topic, I had one other observation this week that I wanted to share with you guys and I wanted your opinion on. Why are all streets named after trees?
They're not.
I mean, they're not.
Oh, there's so many, though. It's a very common thing that you find a
street named after a tree. It is common, but I think that they just kind of run out of things because they're names, right? There's always names.
I mean, how many of y'all motherfuckers live on Spruce?
Well, it depends. Are you talking about Spruce Avenue or Spruce Street or Spruce Boulevard? Which one?
You know, and how many of y'all motherfuckers live on Oak Bend? You know what I'm saying? It's all
I literally had this conversation with my children in the vehicle on the way to their grandparents' house the other day.
About all the streets being named after trees?
Like, oh yeah, and it wasn't, it was the numbers or it was something. It's like, how could it be everything like 1, 2, 3? And then it's like, yeah, maybe it was trees. Maybe it was actually.
See, Travis,
trees, like
I can relate. I can relate with these kids. I think that I'm so disconnected from it all, but maybe I'm not.
Mike has his finger in the kids,
right in the pulse.
Yeah.
The children, right in the pulse of the children.
Hey, you know,
in the kids.
Jim Florentine.
Fingers are in the kids.
Jim Florentine was talking about that pop music and how he doesn't like it. And I'll tell you, that Billie Eilish gal, I like that Billie Eilish.
Yeah, but I don't mind her.
It's unexpected. The music, like, I mean, a lot of it is typical pop fare, but then every now and then there's like a weird horror sound effect or something that pops out at it and you're like, whoa, that's kind of unexpected. It's different. It's unique. It's not unique, but it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's different than what we're being fed.
I think that's why
you know what
the System of a Down was so fun because, you know, like they weren't particularly good. I mean, they were good.
I like anything that deviates from the natural sound of what pop music is because if you go like every decade or every generation of pop music. Sounds the same. Like I recently used my Alexa to like listen to pop music from like specific years in the 2000s or specific years in like the 90s. And they're different songs and they're different stuff, but like the bass sound, like the drum, like back when Destiny's Child was still together, like the drum machines were very similar to like say an Eve song or a No Doubt song. And I feel like the same is true now. To where you're attuned to, like you turn on Top 40 radio and it's like, oh, this sounds exactly like the last song because they're using the same type of technology to produce the music.
Right. Yeah. If,
I like any deviation from that.
If you haven't, you know, and that's, I get mocked for it often, but that's why I always thought that Fiona Apple was kind of cool because she's fucking out there, man. Her shit's weird.
I like Fiona Apple.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess if I was going out on a limb, guys, it's not a pick of the week, I would say, because, like, it's pretty mainstream. And so but I guess at the same time, like, it would be unusual for me and us and, like, our listeners. I don't think our listeners are too in tune with current pop music. If you haven't checked out that Billie Eilish, give it a listen. It's different. It's weird. It's unique. Just listen through it. Tell me what you think. That's my pick of the week, guys. Is Billie Eilish. Travis?
Her main influence is Aubrey Plaza.
Billie Eilish?
How is that possible?
I don't know. She looks just like her. Like it seems like she's trying to make the same face as every time I've ever seen Audrey. Aubrey.
Like she's just like she's bored all the time or like
she's always got that look on her face like
I'm irritated with you kind of but I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Travis, pick of the week, Travis?
Yeah, I do have a pick of the week and it was the aforementioned Black Summer that I spoke to Jim Florentine about. I'm only like episode and a half into it. Like I watched it after the season 5 finale of The Sopranos last night. And it kept me up past my bedtime quite a bit. I wanted to watch the whole second episode, but figured, I really need to catch some Z's. But it is. It is everything you liked about The Walking Dead before it got, like, super character depth. And maybe that changes as you go through the season. But so far, it is just the chaos of people not knowing what the hell's going on. And they present it in these really cool little vignettes where it's, you know how if you watch The Walking Dead on AMC... there's a scene and a commercial, then a scene and commercial if you don't have DVR.
Right.
There's like one scene and then a commercial every time. Well, it's presented the same way, but instead of a commercial, they like title every scene and it's like, hey, we're going to follow this character and this is what it's about. But they don't know what's happening yet. Since I've been watching this 1.5 episodes, but it's very good. Jamie King is in it. If you remember her from the, I don't know, early 2000s, late 1990s. I don't know if anybody else of note is in it, but it's, so far it's good. It's got the Stephen King vote of approval, on social media. So I guess that if that says anything for you, but, check out, Black Summer on Netflix, 45 minutes, 35 minutes. All the episodes are different lengths, so it's not like you're investing a lot of time into it, but it's a good show.
Tomorrow when Travis goes to work, he's going to be like, I was talking to my friend Jim last night about Dead Summer.
And, you know, Jim Florentine from That Metal Show.
They're
going to
be like, your friend Jim?
You know, yeah. Jim.
Jim Florentine.
From comedy?
Yeah. Oh, you know Jim Florentine from comedy? Yeah. You ever see
the
show?
Stand-ups.
Remember You remember the show Crank Yankers? My friend Jim was on that show.
Matt, you got to... Oh, guys, Jim Florentine's special, I guess, should also be an honorable mention pick of the week.
Obviously.
Because I listen to it. It's great. It's on Spotify, but you shouldn't listen to it on Spotify. You should buy it. JimFlorentine.com. The special, it's pretty much all about his bitter, awful divorce, Travis. It's... if you like that drama, it's a good one to check out because it, like everybody's hiring private investigators.
I feel like that's our comedy cup of tea when tragedy happens. Because remember, like we've had Shaun White on the show a couple of times, and his first album was entirely about every one of his family members dying.
The second one wasn't too happy either, Travis, if I remember correct. Right.
I feel like every comedian we have on, it's all dour.
That's our brand.
That's our brand.
Matt, right. You got a pick of the week, Matt? Something you want the people to know about?
I'm going to throw this one out here. It's a band that I found, and I may have been aware of them 2 years ago, but I just recently maybe rediscovered them. And
were
I'm
they
sure
in your
guys,
shed?
No.
You like found them and then you're like,
I know.
I don't know.
This is a band I'm sure Mike probably told me about, but it's a band called Royal Blood. And
love
they're
Royal
really
Blood.
Fucking cool. Yeah, they're really great. And I never ever took the time to enjoy them. And I was listening to them all weekend and really, really enjoy their music.
Matt,
so
I'll
Royal
tell you,
Blood.
If you like Royal Blood, are you familiar with Middle Class Rut?
No.
Middle Class Rut is sort of Royal Blood-ish, but they're angrier. And I'll tell you, I think of that second Middle Class Rut album like every couple of months and put it on, and it's just long enough that I kind of remembered how fucking good it is. That Middle Class Rut, that second album, the first one's good. Third one's okay. Second one's fucking great.
All right. I'll listen to it on the way to work tomorrow.
If you like Royal Blood, then you'll like them too. They're both good.
And I do like I really they only have two records out. The last one coming out in 2017. It's really good stuff.
I don't even like music.
You guys are always talking about music. I don't even like music.
Both of those are like two-piece bands. It's just like a really good guitar player and a drummer, and the guitar player sings, and they're both fucking great. So. Guys, that's
sounds good. Max Headroom.
What'd I do? It was Max Headroom, like Travis. Max Headroom. What are you talking about?
Hey, maybe it's just over here.
Oh, do I sound weird over there?
It might just be over here in Wisconsin. Yeah.
Travis, I don't think we're doing a show next week. I think we're taking the week off.
No, we're taking a week off next week.
We'll be back on our.
We gotta build to the big 400.
Yeah, 400 guys. It's fucking on the way, guys. We got some stuff to plan. So we take a week off. We're doing a show on the 30th. Guest show on that one. It'll be a good one. So tune in, and then. May 4th.
Mark your calendars.
Big 400. It's a Saturday. Doing a 12-hour...
Don't plan anything.
Fucking mega show. So, fucking show up.
Be a good half a time day
for all.
Please tell your friends.
Tell it.
I don't want to be doing this show for nobody.
Tell your friends about the podcast. Tell your friends about what we got going on.
Hey, we just had Jim Florentine on, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, tell your fucking friends. You hear me out there? Tell your friends. You guys.
Tell your mom.
Tell your cousins.
Tell your kid. Tell your sister's kid. Tell your nephew.
Share a link on your Facebook wall and say,
you
hey,
know your niece.
Hey,
tablets.
Check out this funny podcast I listen to. You know, Travis.
Everybody's got a connected device. Listen.
I want you to know it's over.
Well. Bye.
Guys, thank you for listening to this installment of WFOD. If you enjoyed it, subscribe so you don't miss the next one. Leave a review, tell a friend. You can also listen live every Tuesday night on strangelabel.com. There's other programs on that network as well, all of which are worth checking out. You can interact with us via phone, 636-487-HAND. That is when we're live or when we're not live. Leave us a voicemail. We probably will play it on the show. You can email us, mike@wfodshow.com, travis@wfodshow.com, drunk@wfodshow.com. And believe it or not, yeah, actually, matt@wfodshow.com. We're WFO Dicks on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So be sure to give us a follow and let us know that you're listening. Special thanks, as always, to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz and Liquid Lozenge. If you would like to become a Patreon sponsor, it's patreon.com/wfodicks. 20 minutes of bonus content every month for as little as a dollar. We appreciate you listening. Come back next week. Thank you, and goodbye.
Lots of good stuff happening. It's going to be juicy. You'll see. All right. Bye for now. Take good care of yourself. Bye.